Hello, friend. I hope you're doing well. I want to take a moment and welcome you to Transformation Church's YouTube channel, but more specifically, this sermon. I'm so excited for this moment that you're about to hear a beautiful sermon by our lead pastor, Michael Todd. And the sermon today is all about taking big steps of faith. Sometimes in our walk, we can find ourselves at a place of indecision or thinking about or talking about what we're going to do. But there reaches a point in your life where you have to go from watching to actually walking. You've got to take a step. I'm believing as you're watching today that your faith is going to be inspired and your soul is going to be encouraged to take whatever step of faith you need to take. I pray this message blesses you. Let's jump into it right now.
We are in week 6. Of a series that we're calling, let's get real loud real quick, help me. What's the series called? Mustard! Yeah. Somebody had to do it, all right. Y'all quit. Thank you. Next week is our last week of this series, and I believe that the conclusion of this series is going to be an on-time word for probably 100% of us. And God's given me the title of next week's message, or at least the topic. And I'm going to just tell you, I feel prophetically to tell you the name of it. Next week, we're going to be talking about the faith to rest. Yeah, because some of y'all have believed God big in faith to do something that now you've become a slave to. The thing that you put your hand on, you won't take your hand off. And I feel prophetically that I need to speak life into the power of rest. And next week, it is a do not miss message, because it's going to set the pattern for you to be able to watch this word last. Some of you have a good 10 more years to do what God's called you to do when he's actually put 30 more in you. But you're using the energy of 30 years in the span of 10 because you will not rest. All right. And so next week, for all my workaholics, for all my control freaks, for all of the people that say, I'm just grinding, I'm just hustling, I ain't never going back there. You every day, well, I gotta go, every day I'm grinding, every day I'm hustling, every day I'm. When you playing all of those anthems in your head that culture gave you, I just want you to know that that goes directly against the design of God. Nobody's created anything greater than creation. And even in the plan of creation, he puts a day in there where he tells us this is for rest. And everybody in this room, I'm not even supposed to be saying this, but y'all pulling on me today. Everybody in this room would tell everybody else in this room, don't murder. Don't sleep with your homeboy's wife. Because these are commandments. But if somebody came up to you and say, take a day off, it would be the only commandment that you could excuse day after day after day after day. And some people might even praise you for it. Look how hard they work. God sees, look how hard they're disobeying me. All right. No, that's next week. Okay. But I cannot talk about rest until I properly and adequately explain to you work. Because there's another group of people that have got on the rest wagon without the work. You always need a personal day. You always need a mental health break. Oh, come on. There is an abuse happening in the world today for people being in uncomfortable situations and saying it's affecting them negatively. But what they don't understand is the pressure, the challenge, the opposition is the resistance is the only thing that builds you to actually get any better. There is no growth without discomfort. There is no growth without being uncomfortable. And most people want their walk with Jesus and the plan and the purpose that the key has for their life to actually be something that is, you don't say it out loud, but you think it in your heart. You want it to be easy. But I cannot get up here in my right mind and with conviction of the Holy Spirit and let you know that when you follow Jesus, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be work. And this is where I have to speak to us actually putting our faith, our mustard seed faith, into action. Because there are so many people that need a break from doing nothing. Okay. You need a vacation and you haven't put in any work. What do you need a break from? What do you need to step back from? You have done nothing in the last 17 months that requires you to actually stop thinking about something. Prove it to me. Where's the plan? Where's the step? Where's the proof? Where's the concept? Where's the tape? Where's the CD? Where is the thing that God has been telling you to put your hands on? I didn't say, is it finished? I said, is it worked on? Have there been revisions? How many versions of it do you have? Okay. How many people have you let cut on it? How many times have you submitted it? How many times have you put in the application? How many times have you knocked on the door? How many times have you gone past your own insecurities and stepped into a place of work that might be uncomfortable? Many of us are needing a revelation of work. They don't want this. If it was up to you, half the animals wouldn't have names. Yeah, all of them is giraffes, all of them. Giraffes, elephants, alligators. Think about it. Because the first thing God gave Adam before he gave him Eve, he gave him work. He gave him responsibility. He gave him, watch this, a problem to solve. What problem has God given you to solve that you are daily waking up with the intentionality to actually put your work, mind, thoughts, hands to every day? And so I would be out of order to talk to you about rest next week, which many of us need who do work. But there is another group of people who have not been working, watch this, on maybe the right thing. So maybe there is work happening. Maybe there's motion. Maybe there's energy being expended. But you're not doing the right work. Pastor Mike, why do you keep talking about work? Because in the end, when we stand before Jesus at the great white throne judgment, the Bible tells us that he's going to put on the big screen of heaven every work that we ever do on this earth. And I just don't want your slideshow to be short. Y'all ever seen the slideshows in high school and they supposed to give a whole presentation? And it's like, this is an amoeba. Thank you, my name is Charles. No, like, I'm sorry, you're just there, yellow hat, God chose you. What I'm saying is when we get to heaven, I want you to be able to sit down and watch all of the people you fed. All of the conversations, all of the encouragement, all of the text messages, all the revisions that nobody will see but God saw. All of the paintings that aren't in art studios but are in your children's bedrooms. The work that God requires, watch this, takes faith. It's gonna take you using what you have right now, which for many of us in the thing that God's called us to do ain't much. How many people really think right now, if God gave me a little more in this area, I probably would do more? Like, come on, just like if God gave me a little more money, then I could step out and do this. If God would give me just at least two plugs, like two people that could help me know what to do, I would do more. Come on. If God would just, how many, okay, let's just be honest. Let's be humble, open, and transparent. How many people have thought that? Like God has asked you to do something and you're like, God, could you just give me a little more help? Every time I've asked God that question, this is what he speaks back to me in my prayer time. Have you done everything you can with what you have? Have you done everything you can with what you have? And the truth of the matter for most of us is we don't have faith to do the work that we don't know if it's going to get the result. Did you hear what I just said? We only want to do the work if we know it's going to produce a result. Like, if I know it's gonna work, then I'll do the work. But you don't understand that the product that God is working on is not what you have your hands on. The product that he's working on is you. And so I find so many times in the Bible that God puts work as the actual process to get you to the product he wants. Okay. Holy Spirit, help me say it better. Sometimes God will call you to work that will not end up in good results because the work he wanted was not on the thing you were doing. The work he wanted was the work and the wrestle and the transformation and the toil and the admitting and the confession and the transparency that had to happen in you. God has asked me to do some things that he set me up to fail. Y'all don't believe in this God, because I know you think everything is up and to the right. But there are some times that God will give you an assignment that you cannot accomplish so he can kill pride in you. Yeah, no. I'm going to give them that job that they think they the man, six figure, making it happen. You don't know how to read the document of your job description. You sitting there looking at him like, I know some of these words. like. And many times, watch this, the stretch that he makes you take is so you can fail at that but be prepared for something else. And what you don't understand is all the time, this is why y'all don't read your Bible and believe it, all things, all of them are working together for my good. But if the things are working together for my good, but I'm not working my faith, is anything working? So today, I'm coming to encourage you to work your faith. Like, actually plant the mustard seed. Don't just hold it and be like, I got a mustard seed of faith. Don't just do that. Put it in the ground. Water it. Check on it. Put some fertilizer on it. Don't just plant one seed. Okay. Don't just do it one time. You got all this space and opportunity. 24 hours in every day. God is giving you another day. You just scream, I'm still here doing nothing. Okay. I'm just trying to let you know you have so much on the inside of you. Rotting away at the job you complain about every day. I'm not telling you to leave the job. I'm just telling you don't spend the time after the job mindlessly giving your time, energy, and effort to things that aren't a part of the purpose and plan of God in your life. And so today, I want you to tell your neighbor, all I need you to do, tell him, is work your faith. Now look at the neighbor you didn't like as much, because you did make a choice. Look at them with conviction. And say, all I need you to do is work your faith. Okay, all right, all right. Joshua chapter 1. I love my church. It says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua. Who did the Lord speak to? Okay, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. So I want you to realize who this is. This is Josh. He was Moses' right-hand man. Okay? But after the death of Moses, so where's Moses right now? I just love a class who pays attention. Where's Moses right now? Moses is dead. God speaks to Josh, and he was Moses' assistant. Verse 2, this is God speaking. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now that's crazy, because Joshua know he dead. He know that he's dead, but many times God has to come and speak to us about dead things, even though we know the life has left them. And my question is why? Why is God telling you the relationship is dead and you saw it die? Why is God telling you to stop following that dream and you know that well has been dry for years? You still trying to be a rapper at 64? MC Too Fresh. Stop. Go help somebody else. All I'm saying to you is much of the time that we need a word from God, he's having to speak stuff that is already common sense. Because for some reason, we won't acknowledge what it actually is. Look what he says. Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever, oh, I love that word. Wherever you step foot, you will be on land that I have given you. I want you to know how exciting this is for a child of God. Wherever these size 12s, yell out what size shoe you wear. Wherever these size, wherever the size of your feet, find to set foot. He said, that's the land that I'm giving you. This is the level of faith that I believe God wants us to have the audacity to begin to walk in. That whatever neighborhood, I say my family will live in this neighborhood, that there is a process that you can believe that he's giving. Wherever you step in that school, in the government, wherever you step in the entertainment industry, the crazy thing is y'all don't believe it. No. About 6 of y'all do. But there's another 3,000 that have taken the stance of the people who died in the land that God was bringing them through. See, the only reason that Joshua, I just need to give you context, has to become the leader is because Moses died in the place that was supposed to be a pass-through. He brings the children of Israel out of slavery into the wilderness for a process. They begin to complain. God says, your complaining, your disobedience, you not doing what I ask you to do is going to keep you in a holding pattern. And he literally says, none of y'all are going to get into the place I promised you, but your children will. And so he says, only two people are going to be able to walk into the promised land. The people who had the faith to believe me, watch this, when I said it the first time. Okay, I need to tell you, there is an exception for people who actually are naive enough to believe what God says the first time. He literally gives Moses the same promise. Take these people into the promised land. It's the whole reason I brought them out of slavery. It's the whole reason I parted the sea, drowned their enemy. It's the whole reason, not for them to stay in a wilderness, in a desert. I brought them out to take them to. God never brings you out to leave you. He brings you out to take you to. And so if you feel in a place like you're going around and around, there may be a hint of disobedience in the camp. That's why you got to start asking yourself, what did God really say? Am I making any idols? Am I worshiping anything that I'm not supposed to be worshiping? Am I listening to something that's keeping me in the wilderness? Am I watching a TV program and watching the third season of the ninth episode of something that's the cycle, the wilderness was not a place to park, but an entire group, an entire generation died. So now God has to tell Joshua, who was already supposed to be in a promise, that get out of this park. Because he almost thought that God wanted him to stay there too. The way that some of y'all think that this is it. Let's just put all the effort and energy into my kids and my children and my grandchildren. And God said, now it's time for you to lead. Now it's time. I know you've already retired from one job. Now it's time for you to go into this calling. Oh God, I know you're ready to do what your friends are doing and just be on a boat every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. That's my dream, just to be on the boat, fishing, just to be on the boat. It's just with me and God. Me and the great outdoors. And God's saying like, yeah, I have work for you to do. I'm not saying that the boat is not even a vehicle that he'll use. But what I'm saying is, if you are in the mindset that because you've made enough resources to not have to work, then you have finished the purpose of God, so you don't have to work. You are out of line. And today, I just want to engage everybody to work their faith again. Joshua, I need you to know, Moses, my servant, is, what is he? Okay, write this point down. God not on that no more. I don't know who needs to hear that, but some of us are praying about things that God's not on no more. God, would you just please just open up this door, and would you just please, he ain't on that no more. God, would you just please turn his heart so that he loved me. I know he's been in three relationships, but I'm waiting on him, God. I'm waiting on this man. You showed me in a dream that he was the one. And today, God, I come before you, Daddy God. Daddy God, I'm right here praying. This is the picture. This is us together, the ones I glued together and put it together, Lord. And this is what he ain't on that no more. You still laying hands on something that he's moved on from. You still telling people, he's not on that. And there is a such thing as the timing of God. And a lot of people try to extend the seasons that God gives special grace for. If I wouldn't have gone into youth pastoring in the season that I did, I would not be here in this capacity right now preaching to you. If Bishop McIntosh wouldn't have said to me, and then I would have received the word, hey, I believe there's something on your life to do this and go to a whole nother level. It doesn't mean I wouldn't be used by God, but if I was trying to go into youth pastoring right now, I don't even know half of the sayings, the language. I was talking to Mia the other day and she was explaining to me Riz. And when Mia was explaining to me Riz, and then she said Riz, what was the other one? Riz, you said Riz something. What was it? You don't even remember. And I was like, oh, you mean charisma? See, somebody in the audience like, oh. And so the word is charisma, but like you have, what I'm saying is I could spend all of my energy and effort trying to figure out how to be that. That's why Ty's the youth pastor. He's back here explaining it right now. He's like, oh yeah, Riz, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's why he the youth pastor, because he, watch, because in this time and season, he has been given, not that I can't speak a word, not that I can do what God's called me to do, but I don't have all of the, now, don't get it twisted. Your boy got Riz. Don't get it twisted. Huh? Natalie, tell him about your boy. Tell him what I... No, I'm just kidding. Watch this. It's because we serve a God. Listen, I want you to apply this to your life. We serve a God of time and seasons. And I don't care how much you yell, it's summer. In December in Tulsa, you better have a coat. Because the time and the season, and I just came to tell somebody, I'm not gonna spend too much more time right here, but there are some things that you are believing for that God's not on no more. That thing is dead. That relationship is dead. That building that you're trying to buy now has no more grace for the assignment he called you to do 6 years ago. And too many people are finding themselves in a spot that God used to give them instructions about. But I just came to tell somebody, he ain't on that no more. Can I say it a different way? The grace has lifted. The grace is lifted. Some of y'all are friends with people that you used to could spend days with. And now at their text message, it sucks energy from you. All they have to text is, hey, and you're like, oh. Ooh, wasn't expecting that today. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And what we have not done is realize that the season of our connection. And I love them and we love the same things and our kids now are around the same age, but I have to come to grips with that I only have so much energy to do what God has called me to do. And if I'm trying to manage something that actually is not even a part of what I feel God is doing, I gotta realize he ain't on that no more. This is what calls for emotional maturity. Yes, sir. This is why you can't pray everything away. You gotta learn to communicate. Because some of us will not say to somebody, hey, my life setup is a little different right now. I love you, I'm praying for you, but I don't want us to have any unspoken expectations. So literally, I love you, and I'll see you when I see you. And they might be mad for a moment. They may be hurt. They may be, but what you did was walk in integrity to be able to represent. At least they told me. They didn't just ghost me and like, oh, they ain't never invite me to Christmas. They don't invite me to. And you on Instagram and you now afraid for people to see your stuff. You afraid to show up places because they usually there. You done switch gyms now because you don't want to work out with them no more. But you never had a conversation, and all I'm saying to the people of God that maybe God's not on that no more. Joshua had to learn that. And that's why I want to let you know the way may change, but the way maker doesn't. The way may change, but the way maker doesn't. So he tells Joshua, all right, Moses is dead. Therefore, it's time for you to work. It's time for you to get up off of the excuses of the last generation. Stop blaming them for what you're not in now. Stop talking about the trauma of the past. They dead now. They've chosen what they want. Their marriage was what it was. What's yours gonna be? Oh God. I said it in my book, Damaged But Not Destroyed, but it may have not been your fault, but it is now your responsibility. And I believe God is calling some of us to a new level of work. He's saying, Moses is dead. The last generation is dead. The time has come for you to lead. I came to speak to every leader in this room that God wants you to walk in another level of faith. And it's going to take you first accepting. Watch this. You're the leader. Me and Natalie was talking the other day, and you know, we was flying somewhere talking about something, and we looked at each other and was like, we're the adults. I don't know if you've ever had that moment before. Okay, come on. Let's be real. How many of us ever had that moment? Some of us 58 years old being like, I'm not going. I'm making the decision. You can stay naive in that place, or you can make the decision, no, I'm the adult. I'm the leader here. I get to set the culture here. I get to decide what I pay money on. I get to decide what. And God is calling some of us to say, hey, there's not another pastor coming to lead the generation. You're the leader now. There's not another nonprofit. There's not another book that somebody else is going to write. He said, you are the leader now. Joshua has to breathe this in. Me? I've been the assistant the whole time. He said that was preparation for where I was gonna put your feet. And you would love to stay in what was just training. Some of you have been on the sidelines, been behind the scene. I don't like this. No, that's just where God's placed you for training. But now he's calling you to lead. And as he calls you to lead in your home, as he calls you to lead in that PTA meeting, as he calls you to lead at the gym or with your group of friends, I need everybody to hear me say this. The time is now. I imagine that Joshua in 24 hours goes into an entire question about his whole life, because one day he's sitting with all of these people and they still in the wilderness. And then God comes to him and says, get up. Time to work. You're the leader now. Moses is dead. Get them prepared. I didn't plan for all of this. Lord, can we talk? This wasn't what my week, this wasn't on my daily planner. And God's saying, right now, you're the leader. And this is why I want to encourage you with Romans 12:6, for every person who's about to take a big step. Somebody say a big step. You're about to take a big step into leadership. I want to encourage you that God has gifted you to do this. Romans 12:6, it says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, the time is now. Speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, the time is now. Serve them well. If you are a teacher, the time is now. Teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, the time is now. Be encouraging. If it is giving, the time is now. Give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, the time is now. I don't care if you're 13. Lead now. Timothy, don't let them despise you because you're young. Actually, be the example in integrity. It says, if you've been given the leadership ability, the time is now. Take the responsibility, oh my God, seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, guess what? The time is now. Do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others. The time is now to really love them. My God. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy because the time is now. Put in that work. Work hard. Did it say work hard? Not skip out. Not leave 30 minutes early. Not show up late and expect PTO. I'm just trying to tell you how believers are supposed to. Work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Rejoice in our confident hope, which is Jesus. Be patient in trouble because the time is now. Keep on praying. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I'm going to speak a whole message on that. Some of y'all just not nice to people. It says you should be ready to practice hospitality at any moment. Okay, let's leave that alone. But somebody needed that. 14. Bless those. Ooh, this one a hard one. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them out. Don't say curses over them. Instead, use your tongue for something productive. Pray, oh, that God. When the last time you actually prayed for God to bless the people that's talking bad about you? God, I thank you that you would bless them with a car wreck today, Lord, that you would. That's not blessing them. Y'all hear me? That person that you know, Father, I thank you that. God, I don't have a lot of nice words. Oh, he's fine with honesty. God, I don't have a lot of nice words, but I pray that they would have an encounter with you. I pray that the spaces and places where they are empty, that you would fill them up. God, I'm at this moment, I want to fight. But I thank you that you fight for me. And so at this moment, Father, whatever has led them to be in that position, I thank you, Father God, that you would prosper their heart, their mind, their family, and that you would get the glory out of their life at some point and some way and somehow. I can't see it right now. But I know your ways are not my ways. And your thoughts are not my thoughts. In Jesus' name. Practice praying for people you don't like. Be happy with those who are happy. And weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with each other. This is for every leader that's supposed to get into the action right now. Don't be too proud. Ooh, to enjoy the company of ordinary people. To the religious who think you're supposed to only hang out with Christian people who gonna shout every time somebody say hallelujah. Don't be too proud to hang out and enjoy actually like talking to company who are just ordinary. And don't think, oh, I love the Bible. Don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. What am I trying to say? It's time for you to lead, leader. And you know why Joshua could lead? It was because he became the title of my message. Write it down. A big stepper. Y'all Y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, you know somebody who walks into the room and they take up space? He said, every place that your foot treads, he said that this place would be yours. Could you bring up that little example real quick? Because I want to show you how to be a big stepper real quick. Write this down. We got just a few minutes and we're going to get out of here. I'm going to give y'all a couple points and then we're going. Here we go. Yeah, just bring that for me. And yeah, just set it up like right about here, okay? Oh, what are these? These are size 18 shoes. This is a big foot. I want everybody to see the ratio of this shoe to my face. This is going to represent God's step. And this is going to represent my footstep. Now, most of us are thinking when God says take a step, we think he's telling us to take a step on our own. To take a step that makes sense for us. But what God wants everybody to know is that when he calls us to take a step, he's not asking us to step without him. He's asking us to step with him. So if I step into this piece of clay, it leaves, watch this, my footprint. But when you step in the lane and the place that God has called you to walk in, this is his promise and his life. And what you don't understand is I can still move in his step. It looks funny to you. This looks unproportionate. Let's be clear. No. If I walked up, what's up? My name is Pastor Mike. I want to minister the word of God to you. You wouldn't hear anything I said because of how big these white shoes are down here. Look at it from the side. Look at it from the side. But I want you to see something. I want you to see that put the camera on right here. I want you to see. Do y'all see my footstep? Anytime God is asking you to go into land that he's called you to, the end should not be your imprint. People shouldn't be saying how great you are. People shouldn't be talking about how much you kill it and how there's nobody else like you. They should be able, when they step out of what God has done, it should be so him that the lasting impression of his foot. Whoa. You are no longer able to see that it was me in step with God. The only thing you're able to see is that God was here, yes? And some of you need to get excited about being in the plan of God, because it will not be able to trace back to you. It will not be because of your education. It will not be because you were born into the right family. It will be because you obeyed God. Somebody say, I'm a big stepper. Okay. I'm coming back to this. So the first thing that you do to become a big stepper, write it down. You have to see big. Somebody say, see big. This is what I call walking in crazy faith. Joshua is about to take 2 million people into a land that only two people from that tribe have ever been to. Him and one other person. And everybody else that had been, there were 10 other spies that were sent back in Numbers, they all died. Because they didn't have the faith to believe what God said. Joshua was preserved because he believed. He believed God, God preserved him, and now he's about to do something that's crazy. What I'm asking everybody to do is, if God has given you a promise, I want you to do some work that seems crazy. Let me tell you about a situation. Me and my wife were believing God for a house back in 2022, and God provided this really beautiful home that we wanted to move into. We needed more space. Gia was about to be born, or was just born. So this is 2023. Gia was born, and we didn't have enough space in the house that we were at, but we were content being there. And then I was like, we need to believe God for something. And God told me, he said, Michael, step into what you want. We started looking for houses. We found a house that we wanted. The person that was building the house walked into the house while we were looking at it. We had a great relationship that happened, and he gave me the code to get into the house. Now, I don't know why. Like, we don't know each other. This is not somebody I'm friends with. But he just was like, yeah, if you want to come by and bring your wife and da-da-da-da, you guys can just get in and see the place. He did the wrong thing. He didn't know I was a man of crazy faith. We went into the house. I said, Natalie, do you want this house? She said, yeah, I think I want this. I said, I do too. And I want to be in here by Christmas. This is November like 27th. Like, they still putting stuff in. And then my wife, she want to change stuff. She's like, I don't like the backsplash. I want to change the backsplash. I don't like this. I want to do this. I said, it's going to all be done by Christmas. And I walked in there and I was going to leave. And the Holy Spirit said, do something that makes everybody know that you believe this is your house. I said, this about to be crazy. Nat, what did we do? We went to Home Depot and brought a Christmas tree. You remember this? We bought a Christmas tree and went to that house because I had the code. You know, I'm not condoning people to break into houses and put up Christmas trees. I'm just saying, for me, I knew that the worst thing that could happen is I lose a Christmas tree because the man changes the code, or they tell me never to come back for trespassing or something. But there was something in me was that I needed to do something to put my mind to see my family being in that house. To see. And I put that Christmas tree up, plugged it in. And I'm telling you that me and my family celebrated our first Christmas in that. We moved in on December 18th. Y'all don't gotta clap with me. They told me it was no way it could happen. But when I stepped, I saw big. And it may not be putting a Christmas tree in something, but some of y'all need to go to a bank and tell them that I'm starting a business. It's the name of the business. It's Big Business. And you need to open up the account. And you need to go ahead and put the $100 you got in it. I'm sowing the first seed into this $1 million company. It's only crazy. Somebody say, see big. But every time you see big, this is the other thing I want you to know. You need to see the flip side of it. See a boundary. Because most people see big and then don't see God giving boundaries. But verse 4 of Joshua 1, it says, I'm giving you all of this land, but I'm giving it to you within parameters. Everything from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. Everybody just reads over this, but what God was giving was parameters. I'm telling you, big step. Everywhere you put your foot within this category. Did you just see that? Take all the space up that God has given you. Do everything he's called you to do. Somebody say, big step up. Within these borders. And so many people take God saying, do what I told you to do, and you stepping into a relationship with a married man. hold on. We're so, hold on, wait. How did y'all even get close enough to know each other like that? You went outside of boundaries. I'm telling you, God's love is many times shown in parameters. And so I want you to see big. Somebody say, see big. But see boundaries. All right. Then the second thing, I want you, if you're going to be a big stepper, I want you to talk big too. Woo. Joshua, I told you back in Numbers 14, he was sent with 12 other spies into the land because they was going to go 40 years earlier. But they got a bad report from 10 people and a good report from 2 people. The fear of the 10 people spread to 2 million. And literally the 2 people were drowned out even though they had the right answer. Don't think numbers or popularity means right. Oh God. Don't think because the majority is going with it, it means that it was God. And I look at Numbers 14 and 6 when they ask him to report back, and look at how Joshua was talking. He said, they said to all the people, he said, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. He's talking big. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. He was talking big to everybody who didn't believe. God's gonna heal my family and bring us back together. And I don't know how he's gonna do it, but I see it in the future. God's gonna save that loved one. God's gonna deliver me out of this addiction. I know I'm going to the liquor store right now, but one day I will not be addicted to this bottle. I will not be dripped. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying right now. Some of you need to start declaring, I will not be bound by fear for the rest of my life. I will not be steeped in depression, even though you're under a cover and don't want to get off. Life and death is in the power of this tongue. Some of y'all need to declare, I will not be angry another year. I will not be led by rage anymore. Even though you about to break something right now, you can speak in faith even though you live in the lie. I'm living in the lie right now, but I still can speak in faith. Sometimes my word is the thing that hooks me to the future. And I'm just trying to pull my way out of this, but I've spoken it so many times. I've said it so many times. I believe it so many times. And if you're gonna be a big stepper, sometimes you gotta go from one step and you gotta say, you know what? This is not how far God wants me to go. He wants me to step into something else. And so I'm about to talk about what God's gonna do. I met with about 400 people that has sowed significantly into the progress and accelerating the vision of Transformation Church yesterday. And these people came from all over the world, from California, from Dallas, from Miami. These people, Transformation is their church, and they ain't never been here before. They have stepped into this place this weekend, and I shared vision, and I shared about what we're about to do, and I shared about what God is about to tell us as a church. And I'm scared to share it with all of y'all because it's big. It's big stepping. It's scary. Like when I start talking about how we're going to impact this city and the world, it might make some people want to take a step back. But I've seen what God has done back here. Yes. Let me put your footprint back on here, Lord. It's all you, God. It was all you. I give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Step in here into this new thing. Watch this. Means that I have to praise God for what he did back there. But I can't stay there. Praise God that he delivered you. Praise God that he brought you out of poverty. Praise God that he gave you a fresh mind. But you can't stay there. But you know what the beautiful thing about this is? Every time that I think it's about me, because I'm right now trying to figure out how I'm going to get out of this. I'm starting to cramp up a little bit, like just right here. I realized just in this moment, and I believe it was God, that this is not me. This is him. And I can thank God and praise him for the step. God, I thank you for making this step. God, I thank you for doing what I couldn't do. I talked about the spirit of Bank Event Center being Transformation Church, but I couldn't make it happen. Thank you for doing what you said you was gonna do. But this is the place where many people make a moment an idol. So I can't just talk about big faith. I gotta step back into it. Did y'all hear what I just said? Some of you have thanked God because he did it, and now you gotta step back into it. And this is what I wanna say to you. You don't just talk big. Watch this. You need talk back. You need accountability. How to be a big stepper? You see big, and you also see boundaries. You talk big, but you also need talk back. Who around you can talk to you about the big thing that you about to do and tell you maybe that ain't it? So many people fall off the cliff of sanity and right thinking because they won't listen to nobody. During the process, you almost got it right, but this something was just a little off. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people always fall. Were you not talking to nobody about what God has told you? And some of y'all like, y'all believe this cultural lie, move in silence. Another way to say that is move in secret. If nobody knows, I'm not saying everybody should know, but I'm just telling you, somebody should know the big thing that God's asking you to do. They might not even agree. And sometimes the friction is to refine. And sometimes you're like, they just don't believe. No, they're trying to make you think about something that you don't see right now. And you about to go Geronimo and jump off and give away everything that you built back here. And God's saying, I put them there as a buffer. I put them there as a redirector. I put them there to help you do it, but don't do it how you were going to do it. So you need talk back so that you can actually have safety. It says, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is, everybody say safety. Okay. Number three, if you're gonna be a big stepper, somebody say big stepper, here we go. You gotta execute big. This is where the work comes in. I'm not just gonna see it, and I'm not just gonna talk about it. I'm actually going to execute. Do it. Do. You ever seen a fight where all, like back in high school, where all they doing is? And like everybody that's watching is like, oh shoot. But after like 6 minutes, you want to throw a punch to get it started. You want bow. Oh, ooh. Like, at some point, if you're going to fight, I'm not condoning fighting either. I'm just saying that there would be a point where I'd be like, dude, if you're going to open the daycare, do it. Just do it. Move back in with your mom. Use the house that you have now. Go to DHS. Get the things you like. Just the worst that can happen is it don't work. But who you became in the process of trying to big step into God's plan for your life is the next step to the journey of who God's trying to make you. Nike, just. And the church may be the biggest talkers with no execution. The church is here for the world. You mean the organization. And God's calling you. Because you're the church. Feed the homeless. Make 6 extra sandwiches every time you pack your lunch. And go find the execute. Somebody should start a nonprofit to give people their basic needs. You got 17 lotions. Go get some travel size lotions. And your extra toothpaste. And go ahead and pump some of that big old lotion and thing that you got into each one of those things. Take some $3 toothbrushes, go get some travels, and go be the church. Execute. That's why God says, go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say before you went to seminary. He said, go to seminary first and then go make disciples. He said, you can take the one scripture you know and the testimony you've lived. And you can, somebody shout at me, go. Execute. I'm not saying you won't become better and evolve and get, no, I'm just saying, there will never be a perfect time to start. And you're waiting for enough cachet and enough backing and enough to go. And God's saying, go now. Go execute. Joshua, verse 1, 5, and 6, it says, no one will be able to stand against you if you go. If you execute this plan, I'm telling you, ain't nobody gonna be able to stop you. As long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. So this is everybody who's gonna execute encouragement right now. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one. Ugh. Feels like God chose me in a different way. In 2 weeks, Pastor Charles is going to preach a message series called God Chose Me. And I'm telling you, this thing is going to bless your life, because you need to know you are the one. God is saying, come on, man. I put you here on this earth for such a time as this. If it's time to open the therapy for men, do it. If it's time to start the hair business, do it. If it's time to start the gym wheel, do it. I'm only talking to big steppers. Here we go. He says, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give to them. What God is saying is, you stepping in big faith and executing ain't even about you. This is about me keeping my promise to your grandma. This is about the prayers that your grandfather prayed. This is about the prayers that they prayed on a plantation, in the house as well as in the field. Oh God, y'all not ready. This is about me keeping my promise. So I need you to execute. I need you to do what God said, because other people are waiting to actually be in the place that they're supposed to be in because you led them there. Okay. God's word has to outweigh the fear in your life. And this is why I'm giving you Joshua's example for you to execute. So we're going to execute big. Somebody say execute big. But the other part of that, the backside of that, is execute before it's big. Because everybody wants to execute big, but not do the stuff to get there. So in verse 7, it tells Joshua, be strong and very courageous. Be careful here, before you do this, be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you, which means you need to study. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. This is a promise. And then it gives a word that a lot of us don't like, with ChatGPT running the world right now. Study. I just want to say, the word of God still requires you to study. I'm saying it because this is an age where we're getting so addicted to answers without research. That this ancient book is still calling us, study, not everything, but this book. Ain't that what it says? Study this book of instructions called the Bible continually. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it. Only then will you prosper and succeed in all you do. What he was saying is, you're about to go into a big space and you're going to see it, you're going to talk it, you're going to take it, but I want you to know the preparation beforehand is imperative for you to have the victory in it. So there is two things you need to do. Have spiritual preparation for the big place that God is bringing you. And this is the other thing. You need to have practical preparation. Talk to me, Pastor Mike. Verse 10, it says, Joshua then commanded the officers of Israel, go through the camp and tell all the people, get they stuff ready. There is provisions that are needed for us to go to the promised land. Prepare practically. Because in 3 days, in 3 weeks, in 3 months for you, some of us are about to cross into the Jordan River and take possession of the land the Lord is giving you. All I'm telling you is get your house in order. Get your money in order. Get your relationships in order. Because God's going to say, it's time. And you're going to be like, hold on. Last one. If you're going to be a big stepper, I want you to pace for big. What's a pace? A pace is the tempo, the timing. Everybody say, snap with me, snap with me, snap at the top, come on, snap with me, snap with me, stat with me, stat with me. This feels like 2000. Okay, now watch. The only reason everybody was able to snap in unison is because I set the pace. If I told everybody just to snap, it would just have been a whole bunch of just, it would have been confusion. But because I set the pace, when you set a pace, you have to set margin. The only thing that makes a tempo, watch this, is the space between the snaps. It's not the snaps. It's the space between the snaps. So when I snap, everybody, snap with me. Pace, pace, pace. If I make that shorter, it's not unusual. If I make that, but did you see the only difference? Watch this. The only difference was the margin in the middle. Same snap, different margin. Most of us are not making margin for what God's gonna do. You like, God said he gonna do this. We come into a brand new land. I'm taking over everything. And I'm saying, put a little more margin in there. Because you just know what he said already. You don't even know that when you get in the land. You don't know that God does exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask, think, or imagine. You planning just to do one book. He said, uh-oh. Make a little margin. You just trying to get through this one assignment. And God said, you're going to be a professor. Like, make a little more margin. I had no idea what God was going to do when he asked me to be a lead pastor of a church. I thought we was going to be in North Tulsa for the next 15 years. I had no idea. And God said, hey, make a little room for me. I'm going to give you a book that you didn't even think you could write. That's going to go number one New York Times bestseller. And people in different countries are going to be speaking about what God gave you in North Tulsa and how it transformed their life. Make a little space because it ain't going to be one book. It's going to be three in 4 years. Make a little space because then I'm going to take it. I'm going to make it into a movie. Make a little space because I'm giving you songs now for it. And I'm telling. And if I would have stopped believing at the place that he first said, I didn't pace myself for big. And many times when you only make this much room, when God's plan is this big, you become overwhelmed by the blessing you prayed for. All right. All right. So if you're gonna pace for big, this is the last thing. You have to pace for bringing. Pace for bringing. Who's coming along with you? This whole story was not about Joshua getting to the promised land. Because if it was about Joshua, he would have went 40 years earlier. Jesus held him back so that he could bring people with him. Sometimes when God's saying, not yet, not yet, it's not because you've been disobedient. Not yet. Not yet. It's not because you don't have the skills. Not yet. Not yet. It's not because you're not qualified or you won't be okay in the promised land. The reason is you're the only one qualified to bring them into the promised land. And if you don't factor in others into the plan of God in your life, then you will selfishly think that you're punished in a season that God is just being patient with everybody else to catch up to. I've had to face this reality in my life several times where God's saying to me, Michael, it's not happening right now because there's other people that have to get on this boat before I do this. And I'm like, I'm ready to go now. Let's do this now. J.G. Wentworth, 877, cash now. That's come up 2 weeks in a row. All I'm saying is, I want it. And God's saying, if you go now, you leave them now. And I'm the one who waits, who will let you stay here and go back and get one. And I'm just telling you, if you're going to be a big stepper, know that it won't be only your steps. There are children, family members, coworkers. Watch this, people you don't even know. I heard a testimony yesterday from a gentleman that's here who told me he started watching our messages in 2017. And when he started watching the messages, he was $12,000 in debt. And how God, through him listening to Transformation Church, reading the word, and following the steps that God has given him. I'm not going to put him on blast right now because y'all be trying to talk to him after this. But what I'm saying to you is he's in this room right now and he followed the steps that I was telling people to do on this platform and had never been here. And God gave him witty inventions and ideas and connections as he followed in steps. And he told me that this Mother's Day, he paid off his mama's house. Y'all don't hear what I'm saying to you. He said, God took me from $12,000 in debt to having a multi-million dollar company. I ain't even 35 years old. God, he was telling me all these things. And he said, I just wanted to thank you for doing what you do because I've been following in you. And this is why Jesus says, follow me as I follow Christ. I want you to know that when you follow Christ, you can be confident that other people can follow you. God, when I take my steps off this path, y'all see that my foot is not over here. My steps aren't over here. I'm putting my feet in the place that has been designated. At the moment I get off of this path, destruction is inevitable. There is no print of God. And this is why I need the church to realize when God does it, it's about his imprint, not them being impressed. I want you to see God in this step. It may not make sense to you right now. It may not be cool right now. What I'm doing is not what I want to do. It's where he's called me to do what he's called me to do. And I'll obey him. And I'll even like tremble. This thing keep trembling. I don't know what it is about this step right here, but I worked out this morning. This is uncomfortable to stay here. But what if he tells you, this is the step I have you at? Well, God, it would be much easier for me to go to that step now. But what if being a big stepper is staying where he has you until he says step again? And so many people are eager to go to the next step. And God's saying, pace yourself. Everything is going to happen in time. And I know as I'm saying this, there are some people that are thinking, but Pastor Mike, what if I missed a step? What if I made a misstep? What if I took a step off the path? Well, I'm glad that God gives us examples in his word about how to step. In Matthew 14, 22, it's a famous verse that most people don't see the power in what God really does. Peter takes a step off of a boat into uncharted territory, which is water. which just at the thought of it makes no sense. It's crazy faith. But the only reason, I want you to see all of these steps in Peter's story again. The only reason he actually steps off the boat is because Jesus told him to come. Yes. So again, he saw big. He talked big. Jesus, if that's you, call me out there. Jesus responds to him. He then says, come. So what does Peter do? He steps off. And as long as Peter was focused, that's the word of the year, right? As long as he was focused, not distracted, he was able to walk on what other people drowned in. But at the moment, the situation began to, what they saying about me? Who left? Did I get water on my hair? Can I swim? He's walking on something and then maybe thinks, can I swim? And at the moment he's distracted by what he's already overcoming, he begins to do what? Sink. Okay. So he made a misstep. Watch this. Verse 27 let's go Matthew 14, verse 27. But Jesus spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Here's that word again. Take courage. Why can you take courage? He said, because I am here. I'm even in your misstep. I don't know who I'm talking to right now, but some of you have made a mistake. Some of you have said or done something that you know wasn't godly for you. Some of you have hidden back. You haven't taken up your space. You might have felt that, oh no, God's done with me. And God's saying to you, I'm even here with you in this misstep. He said, then Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come. Walk on the water. Come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the side of the boat, walked on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw the strong wind and the wave, he was distracted. He was terrified and began to sink. But what did he say? Save me, Lord. Some of you, your next big act of faith is just to say, save me. I messed this up. I got in debt over. I stopped obeying. I got out of accountability. I stopped going to counseling. I'm hanging around the, save me, Lord. And when he said, save me, Lord, Jesus, I love this word, immediately reached out and grabbed him. He said, you have such little faith. Boy, I've been trying to teach you this for a long time. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat, the wind stopped, which means the wind was on assignment. The storm had a time limit. The storm was a part of the theatrical platform that God was trying to use to perfect Peter's faith. He said, y'all cut it. He didn't get it. Stop the lights. Stop the... We'll try again later. He said, then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God. Jesus was like, duh. Watch this. Last point. Because of Jesus, this is the encouragement for anybody who's made a misstep. Because of Jesus, when your big step turns into a misstep, you're still kept. Today, I don't care if you've gone off the path and you stepped out and tried to do what God said and it ended up in you losing something, losing confidence, losing courage, losing focus. God's saying, all I need you to do is call out to me right now. Save me. Jesus, I need you. God, you're the only one that can pull me out of this. And he says immediately, he keeps you. Today, if you're in this room and you know that there's some big step that God's calling you to or have called you to, And you know there's some areas of your life that you have stepped in the wrong places. Or there's some steps you've made and all you can see is your feet and your steps and your imprint and not his. Today I'm asking you, would you step into the grace and the love of God? Would you allow him to be the one that directs you, guides you, loves you, transforms you, and brings you into the promised land that he didn't even just give to you, he gave it to your mama's mama's mama. Today, I believe the Lord, by faith, with our mustard seed faith, wants to redeem generational blessings because somebody's gonna obey God. Your family never was able to do it, but God's gonna do it through you. Your family line has never been able to stay healthy or whole or healed or financially free or whatever it is. But what if it changes through you? Standing all over this place. Today I'm praying that your mustard seed faith would turn you into a big stepper. That some of y'all are gonna step into places over the next few weeks with God's strength and his help that you don't even really got no business being in, but you're gonna step in it in crazy faith. But if you ever make a misstep, know that he's a keeper. If anybody wants to actually walk in the crazy faith, to step into the big things, and you feel like this message is resonating in something that God's asking you to do, would you just lift your hands all over this room, watching online? I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, you told me to preach this message because your children needed to not just be inspired, they needed to be encouraged. And so for every hand that is up and every heart that is open, I'm asking you right now, would you give us the faith not just to walk on water, but last on the water? Would you give us the faith, Father God, to actually make it into the promised land with everybody that's supposed to be there? Would you give us the faith, God, to step into situations that look too big for us to step into, but when the step is made, all they see is your imprint. It's for your glory that you want to use us. Because your word says, blessed are the feet of those that spread the gospel and take the good news, Father God. The reason why you want us to take up more space is because everywhere we step, you step. And everywhere you step becomes kingdom territory. And Father, there are people that need to know that you didn't just bring them to this earth to live or to exist. You brought them to this world to live and to represent you. So for every person who's made a misstep, I thank you, Father God, your redeeming grace is available right now. For every marriage that has gone off the track, for every heart that is addicted to something that's dangerous, for the eye of lust and the thoughts of jealousy and envy and the comparison that drives us, Father God, to be discontent. Today, Father God, we're all asking, would you save us from those distractions that are causing us to drown, Father God, in places we should be walking on? Today, I'm coming to you just as Joshua would. And I'm repeating the words that you said to him, and we're saying them back to us. Father, I thank you that you've called us to be strong and courageous. Today, would you give us courage? Would you encourage us through your word? And Father, would you give us the boldness to walk into land that still has giants in it and be ready to fight for what you've called us to? Bless these people who are about to make steps into the worlds that the church has not been in a long time. Give us audacity to believe you. our foot would step, you're giving that land to us. For your glory, for your kingdom advancement, and for people to be saved. In Jesus' name. In the same moment right there, some of you are saying, the next big step I need to make is say, Jesus, save me. And you want to give your life to Jesus Christ. Whether you're in prison right now, you're in this room, or you're watching online, if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, I'm about to say a prayer, and everybody here is going to say it, because TC's a family. Nobody prays alone. And I don't care what you were doing last night. I don't care what you're planning to do next week. I don't care where your heart has been burdened. I was a liar, a manipulator, addicted to pornography. I had bad things in my heart. I had plans to walk away from God, but God got in my way and said, step in this thing with me. And I got transformed. And today, I'm asking you to follow me as I follow Christ. But that means you have to follow him. And if you're watching this and seeing this, whether it's now or on rebroadcast, pray this prayer. Just say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. Today, I give you my life. I repent from my old steps, and I walk in a new light. I believe you lived, you died, you rose again to redeem my life. So transform me, change me, renew me. I'm yours in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer for the first time, or you rededicated your life, on the count of three, I want you to shoot your hand up. We all already cheering, and heaven is about to cheer for you. One, two, three. Shoot your hand up if you prayed that prayer. I see you up there. If you prayed that prayer, I see you, sir. If you prayed that prayer, I see you. Come on, church. I see you, my brother. And more than that, God sees you. Hallelujah. It's time for the big steppers to get in. Today, I want you to put your foot in something. I don't know. I go get some Play-Doh like I had. Put a footprint in there. Hey, today, if you just made that decision for Jesus, I want you to text SAVE to 828282. As the altar workers are coming, if you need prayer for anything, the Bible tells us we have a secret weapon of agreement. If your marriage is going through, if you're having wild thoughts, if you just feel down, even after all that we said in the message, a miracle can happen just in you touching and agreeing with people. These aren't perfect people. If you need prayer in the chat, put it in the chat. These are people who believe God. And here in just a minute, about 15, 20 minutes, next week, I'm telling you, do not miss the message. I'm gonna teach you to have the faith to rest. But in just 15, 20 minutes, if you would like to meet me and some of the team, we're going to be right across the hall. I want to invite you to something we call Meet the Pastors. I want to hear your story. I want to hug you, take a picture with you, and just see all the good things that God is doing. So if you're new to Transformation Church and you want to meet somebody, come meet us. I would love to meet you. And I'm believing that this week is going to be the best week of your life, that you're going to walk into steps with courage, and that God is going to use you to do something that's going to get his name glory right here on this earth. There's a miracle in motion coming for you. Amen. Father, bless them is my prayer. Let them step in everything you've called them to step in. We give you glory, we give you honor, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, we agree, we expect, amen. Go out and live a transformed life.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that message. Before you jump off, I want to take a moment to share something with you. One, if this message impacted you in any way, take a moment and share it with at least three people. Send it to a friend, a parent, a sibling. You have no idea. Maybe there's someone else that's going through something that this message could impact them. Also, take a moment and subscribe to the YouTube. If you haven't done that, it's a beautiful way to stay in touch with everything that's going on. And the last thing I would say is, if you have been impacted by this ministry in any way, not just the sermon, but beyond that, I would encourage you to consider partnering with us financially. Our church is built on the sacrifice of so many people. And when you give, you allow us to create more content like this to go around the world. And so you can do that at our website, through our app. You can text to give. But however you give, I just want to say thank you for partnering with us to represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. We love you so much. Go out and live a transformed life.